This is Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest every Wednesday, Mike Fouché. He's the man behind AlderTrack.com, a subscription newsletter for all covering all things Chicago politics. And man, oh man, CPS versus CTU. This is becoming a heavyweight fight.
And we are all the gloves getting. I mean, basically, we're taking the damage. Good times.
Not good. All right. So today, the big story today, I mean, it started with sort of political theater, I guess financial theater, and the idea that the Chicago Teachers Union withdrew their money from Bank of America because Bank of America is one of the big banks that the city of Chicago has done interest swaps with.
Toxic swaps.
And they're making a
yes.
ton of money off the right. off the city and the CPS.
Right. And CTU, the Teachers Union, basically says, well, the schools are still paying hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars of payments for these toxic swaps.
Which date back to the Blagojevich administration.
Yeah, wrong guy, but same era. You know, they say, well, you're paying the banks, but you're not taking care of our kids in the school and the teachers in the schools. So they went to the bank teller at Bank of America and they said, we'd like our $1 million, please. And the teller said, okay.
Here you go.
And that was it. Literally, the teller said, okay. Yeah.
I think it's more symbolic, though, that they want to take their money out of big banks or banks that they feel have done wrong to the kids.
You know, this is the thing that's kind of interesting. You know, $1 million. Ooh, yeah. Wow. $1 million. That's a lot of money. But when you get down to it, the amount of money that we're talking about that's going on in the toxic swaps is hundreds of millions. And so a $1 million check is really, you know,
well, speaking of, you know, finance, I mean, finally, this evening, it was announced that the Chicago Public Schools was able to get the bond at a very, very high rate.
Right.
Higher than what it was last week.
8.5 and borrowing less money.
Borrowing
so
less money.
So they originally were going to go to market last week. They were going to try and take $875 million at 7.75, and that didn't work. You know, whether it was called that they pulled the deal or the deal failed,
right.
And so they decided they were going to try again this week. And you know, we've heard that there was a lot of negotiating, trying to get investors. Well, you know, how much do you guys want to pay for this? And so finally, investors came together. And they were able to sell $725 million, so $150 million less, and at a higher rate of 8.5. Now, in order to give you a sense of what 8.5 means, that is about 6.5% higher than the average borrowing that's done by a municipal bond deal. That's investment grade. So that's really, really high.
This is unprecedented. I mean, that's, we really need to stress that, you know, beyond, I was reading somewhere the stat that it was Puerto Rico's the only other, the biggest deal with this high of percentage rate.
Right.
But Puerto Rico's
a shambles.
This is unprecedented for a municipality to borrow at this level.
And let's, you know, everyone's like, oh, Puerto Rico, they're in the Caribbean. Of course, they're supposed to be bad. But the reason why Puerto Rico's in such poor shape is that people are actually leaving Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is getting smaller. And so they have less and less people in order to pay taxes, in order to pay these bonds. Chicago doesn't really have that problem. We have a very robust tax base. The issue that the Chicago Public Schools has is that the tax base is frozen, and the property taxes can't get bigger unless the state and Springfield says, okay, fine, you can raise taxes above the cap.
All right, let me ask you this, because this was something, I mean, let's get to the politics part, and then I want to ask about what this means for negotiations for a teacher's contract. But politics-wise, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, went to New York City in this sort of...
On Monday.
Yeah, this idea, and you tell me, but with the idea that he was going to be able to talk to some of his financial buddies into making this happen.
Well, first off, it's not unusual for a big city mayor to go visit the bond houses, the investors, in order to sweet talk them and tell their story. Every major city mayor does that. Okay, so it's not like he was going.
It wasn't like an emergency special type thing.
Well,
I mean, it was.
The timing certainly was interesting. And his folks said, well, this was a long planned trip. Sure, he planned to go at some point. Did he plan to go on Monday? Who knows? But so he went and made a tour in order to convince everybody that they should buy Chicago bonds for the public schools and everything's going to be okay. And so at about the same time, Governor Bruce Rauner steps up to the microphone and says, oh, hey, guys, I want to remind everybody that I have this great Chicago Public School bankruptcy plan and to take over the schools.
And I'm even preparing for it, even though it kind of dead in the water when he brought it up.
Right.
And it was he came back again and he said, I just want to let everyone know I'm preparing.
Right, right. And the fact is that that's really a pile because you can't prepare because it has to be approved by the state legislature.
So what is Governor Rauner doing? Because I'll ask, and this was brought up by you today in Alder Track, and Rich Miller downstate.
And Dan Mielopoulos wrote about it today,
so too. So let me ask the question. I mean, Governor Rauner is a very shrewd and smart businessman. That's what we brought him to politics to do. He knows that by going in and talking about the B word, bankruptcy, he's going to scare off bond investors.
Right.
Did he do that on purpose to mess with the CPS bond?
All right. Well, I am not a psychic, and I cannot read his mind. But if I was somebody that was trying to game out a specific theory, it certainly would be to Bruce Rauner's it would be to his favor to force the Chicago Public Schools and the mayor of Chicago to the table at Springfield, because he has this thing, and I talk about it every week, called the turnaround agenda, where he wants to cap property taxes, he wants to change tort laws, and he also wants to eliminate collective bargaining for government employees. And so Democrats in Springfield, which are dominated by Chicagoans, don't want to pass that, and he hasn't been able to get it through the legislature. Now he's got something that Chicago really cares about, the schools. And if he's able to drive the schools into bankruptcy and drive everybody to the table to negotiate with him, then he's able to say, oh, I've got this thing called the turnaround agenda. I think I need you guys to support this before I'm going to be able to...
Before we sign on the dotted line, let me grab
exactly.
This. So let me ask you, because you know this all is happening at the same time as negotiations with the Chicago Teachers Union over a contract. We saw, I think it was Friday, hey, there's a serious offer on the table. It's going to the top brass at CTU. Right. It's a serious offer.
Right.
I
mean,
by Sunday, the news was like, this is great. There's there's going to be a signed contract. Monday comes, bam.
Right.
No contract.
Done.
What happened?
So there's so what's really crazy is that it's not crazy. It's just the way it is that the Chicago Teachers Union actually has political parties inside of it. And there's a political party inside of Chicago Teachers Union called CORE. And I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a much more leftist, much more strident organization. And the CORE membership, people that were in CORE, really ended up being against the contract. And the big things that they were really against was the teachers union has been asking and asking and asking the mayor to commit TIF dollars, tax increment and finance dollars, and there's some chunk of change. It's a big black box. Nobody knows how much it is, but it could be as much as $700 million to commit them to the schools in order to take care of the school financing problems now, today.
As opposed to renegotiating and taking away essentially salary from teachers.
And actually, if the mayor decided to, he could declare a big chunk of change, $700 million, as surplus tomorrow. And because of the way that the formula is, half of that would end up going to Chicago Public Schools. So $350 million could go to public schools tomorrow and could solve a lot of their finance gaps.
And this is why when you hear Karen Lewis or Jesse Sharkey in the news talking about the doomsday.
Right.
That's what they mean, is the fact that the city likes to come out and say, we have no money, we're strapped, we're strapped.
Right.
And they say, we have to cut these salaries, we have to get rid of this. But there really is an option for a big chunk of change if they wanted to do that.
There is a TIF account, and the TIF account has it has about $1.7 billion in it. But exactly how it's accounted for, nobody really knows. The mayor's office has kept it dark. So the teachers union, members of the teachers union said, well, you guys aren't really playing ball with us because we really want you to do this with the TIF money. And you should just commit it to the schools and solve all of our problems today. And then it wouldn't be a problem. But see, here's the thing.
Until next year. But go ahead.
Exactly. So Rahm Emanuel really doesn't want to have to do that, because if he does that, it's a very slippery slope to all TIF money ultimately going to schools.
Well, it'll just become the
complete control.
The TIF, which has been very controversial. But it has gone to playgrounds, to parks, to new building construction.
Yes.
They want it. They use that almost as a capital fund.
So the TIF money in Chicago is the mayoral equivalent of the CIA black fund. Nobody, there's some amount of money in it. Nobody exactly knows what's being done with it, how much there is, and the mayor can use it in order to solve whatever political problems he has. If he starts committing that TIF money to schools, Bye-bye Black Fund.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem for them. So the teachers saw that and they said, you know, we don't want to be part of this.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about what's next, because we saw what the teachers' union said was an act of war and what they called retaliation that the CPS... Well,
more importantly, they said you can't be trusted.
Yeah. They came back and said CPS Forrest Claypool says we're going to have to cut 100 million more.
Right.
Which was not on the table, and they were going to do that coming up here February. We've been talking about that for months now. Let's take a break. We come back, find out where we're at. Is that real? Is that going to happen? Does the bond today, does that help? A lot of unanswered questions. Mike Fouché from AlderTrack.com in studio with me tonight. We'll be right back.
That's some smooth stuff there, Justin.
That's why I played it out a little bit. You know, Zim, he does the beats. Damn. It's the first time I heard it. I'm like, oh, I'm keeping this one.
I mean, this is practically like some late night lover music. Yeah.
Call in right now. We'll give you some advice, some relationship advice.
Straight from me.
Straight from Mike Fouché from AlderTrack.com. A subscription newsletter covering all things Chicago politics. Let's talk, I mean, the unanswered questions. Was, the $100 million, is that covered by today's bond news, or is that this $100 million that they need to cut?
Yeah, so the bonds were $150 million less is what they got from the bonds, right. And Claypool is going to actually be cutting more than $100 million. There's $100 million of cuts that he's going to be making, and then there's also pension reductions that should lead to another pension. They're no longer doing the pension pickup for the teachers, which is another $130 million.
Which the teachers are angry about.
The teachers are not happy.
They feel, but I heard, I mean, the way that Karen Lewis talked about it, she said it was retaliation, that this was, you know, that this is an act, quote unquote, an act of war.
You know, this is one of the things, as an observer, you go back and forth to these things, to the mayor and CPS and the teachers. The CTU has so much bile and anger for everything that comes out of the mayor. You know, they said, we just don't trust you. Is the thing that is said. And when you say, I don't trust you, you're no longer talking about the issues. You're now talking about a personality.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, if you're no longer negotiating on the issues, you're now negotiating on a personality, you've got a real problem.
Well, I mean, they obviously have a long-standing sort of feud when it comes or issue with trust.
Because
they've been promised a lot of things, and there's been strikes
side,
and otherwise.
On the flip side, you know, Rahm has really had a tinier on some of this stuff. You know, we were talking about the TIFs. Frankly, if he had said, you know what, okay, fine, I'll declare $200 million as a surplus. And if he had just done that, the truth is something's going to go, Rahm Emanuel, and he's got to pick what it is and get it in front. And I'm not sure that he's willing to do that. It's sort of like what happened with the McClellan-McDonald video controversy. Everyone knew that there was a video. Why didn't he just put it out and get it done with rather than make it turn into a horrible, horrible, horrible
Well, story. Let me ask you. I mean, this doesn't bode well for negotiations, what's happening this week. I mean, are we at the point now where it's inevitable the S word will be muttered around Chicago?
The thing that rhymes with pike? Yeah. Well, you know, I think that the way the teachers are talking, it's close to inevitable. They're able to strike within 100 days, or I'm sorry, after 100 days. But my thought in talking to various people is that they probably wouldn't strike until the fall for a number of reasons. One is that there's a lot of high school seniors and juniors who depend on scholarship money from athletics and other things that they need to do that are at the end of the year. And they could ruin a lot of kids.
And
who
they
are
don't
trying
want
to,
they want
different
parents.
Things.
They want parents on their side.
Exactly.
So they're not.
And if they
do
strike
it, right.
At the end of the school year, that will obliterate literally thousands of kids' chances in order to have a good education.
So you'd see this more at the beginning of the school year, like they did a couple
just
years ago.
Just like the last time. So I think we can anticipate that school will start for a week or so, and then they'll go on strike.
Well, this story obviously is not going anywhere, so we will talk more about that as it goes on.
Yep.
Let's make a quick transition to the political season is underway. The Iowa caucuses reminded us that on March 15th, we've got a primary.
Yeah,
in the state
wow.
of Illinois.
Hey, cool.
Both Senate races are pretty much foregone conclusions that it's going to be Senator Kirk and it's going to be Tammy Duckworth. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I have to. When you get down the ballot, I guess there's going to be a smattering of different kind of legislative races. But the big one that everyone's paying attention to is Cook County State's Attorney.
That's right. So it's a three-way race between Donna Moore, who's white Caucasian, Kim Fox, who's African American, and Anita Alvarez, who's Latina. And Anita Alvarez is the incumbent. Kim Fox is a former chief of staff for Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. And, you know, there was a poll put out by the Tribune the other day that showed Anita Alvarez in a pretty solid lead. Mm-hmm. Which is not surprising. You know, incumbents tend to do a lot better in a race like this. It's most people. Oh, yeah. State's attorney. You know, and so people make a judgment based
it's
on
hard
name
to, I get that. But right. This one, I mean, State's Attorney Alvarez is in the middle of one of the biggest stories in Chicago news history with the Laquan McDonald video. And she's sort of been drawn the ire of a lot of protesters. It feels to me that there's still a long way till March 15th and that the State's Attorney Alvarez still has an uphill battle.
Yeah, I think that's true. Although I think a lot of people's memories when it comes to politics are like mayflies. You know, they've got right. something else that they care about. They're going all the time. And the other thing to remember is that in 2008, when Anita Alvarez was elected, she was elected. She was in a scrum of a race. There were five candidates. She was way behind. And then she had an amazing television ad.
Yeah, right.
Which you can still find if you go to YouTube and look Anita Alvarez TV ad. And she just destroyed with that TV ad. Her husband is a very successful OB-GYN. And he took out a big loan and they bought like $500,000 of TV. Hmm. So, you know, I think it's going to come down to one really good ad. Now, that being said, she's ahead in the money-raising race by about $140,000 from her nearest competitor.
And her nearest competitor is Kim Fox.
That's right.
Who didn't do so well with a piece in the Sun-Times just about they're questioning her record in the courtroom.
She had a miserable interview with Dan Mialopoulos from the Sun-Times where asked her a whole bunch of questions about whether or not she's actually tried felony cases, and she really didn't purport herself very well. And Dan had a lot of information that showed that she really had no felony trial experience, very little felony trial experience.
Which may not be that big of a deal when it comes to being the state's attorney because it is more and more of a political position.
You know, yes. Yeah, but, you got to know how a courtroom works, but she clearly does.
So and the last question tonight has to do with, you know, the Iowa caucuses, you know, strong showing for Senator Rubio, strong showing for Senator Sanders on the Democrat side. Do you see in Illinois any evidence that they're using that bump to generate some excitement this far ahead?
There are people that are getting excited. But the thing about the presidential races is that it's very hard to say to voters, oh, this is going to be the person that you should get excited about and start rallying for in Illinois at this point for president. You know, we're still going to have New Hampshire next week, South Carolina and Nevada before the
Super Tuesday.
March 15th.
Is there a chance that we're irrelevant on both sides, that by the time we get to March 15th, the front runners are in?
There's certainly going to be Republican candidates that are going to drop out. And I think on the Republican side, there's going to be, you know, some changing in terms of who's going to be in the lead. And, you know, if Sanders wins in New Hampshire this next week, which I think he will, because it's his next door state, you know, that's going to give him even more of a bump. But then supposedly Clinton has a big lead in South Carolina.
Well, so she's going to win in the southern states. You know, that's so we were talking about this on Monday night that he almost needed, even though it was really, really close, he needed to win Iowa to get that momentum going. That, you know, it's going to be a tough road for my
this senator. Stuff moves so fast.
Yeah, no, it's so fun, though, man.
Yeah.
This is the best game in town.
Best game
so
in town.
So fun.
Best game in town. I think Chicago, unfortunately, Chicago politics is the best game in town. Unfortunately.
It's great. And I have so many questions, maybe I'll save it for another time because we're running out of time here. But I mean, I'm interested in what the Republican base here in Illinois does when it comes to president. I mean, are they a Ted Cruz conservative state?
I don't think they
Marco
know.
Rubio and
I don't
Bush?
Think yeah. they know. Yeah. I think that it's all over
Donald
the place.
Trump.
There are a lot of Trump supporters in Illinois.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that.
He touches a vibe. Although there's been a really interesting point that some other people have made, which is that Donald Trump isn't a real candidate. He's a TV reality show candidate. Mm. And people that are interested in him don't necessarily show up to the polls. They just want to watch cool
stuff.
Yeah,
they're loving it. And I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if he knows that in the way that, I mean, I think
deep down in the lizard brain,
because what I find interesting, I kind of made the joke at the beginning of the show, is that, you know, he is right on the Ted Cruz kind of dirty trick stuff in Iowa.
Absolutely.
And a lot of politicians would never talk about that stuff because they do it too. And he comes out and he's like, that's wrong. What you're doing is wrong. This is why politics is terrible.
Right.
This is why nobody likes
right.
you.
Well, the
and
reason
I, he, that's
he's
a good
not,
thing.
He's not doing it is because he doesn't really have a campaign operation.
Yeah, I know.
So he's,
but it's,
he's not
it's
doing
refreshing in the way that, I mean, the other stuff on television, all that kind of stuff's not refreshing, but it's refreshing to have candidates go, this is what he did. Take a look at what he did.
I like your impression.
I like
him,
it.
By the way.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's nothing.
That's really good.
It's, yeah.
Thank Maybe
you.
I'll do
Thank
my
you.
Ted Kennedy.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
No. No, no, no. No, no, no. I'll do my Massachusetts. I lived in Massachusetts for a while, so I learned how to talk like those
go.
People.
There you go.
They got, you get better service at the 7-Eleven when you talk like them.
Mike Fouché is the man behind AlderTrack.com, subscription newsletter that covers all things Chicago and Springfield politics. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.